for a moment they were to build a tabernacle. And they could have done it on their own. I think they could have built a tent. They could have built some tables. They could have built all the things, the ark and an altar. They could have done all that without the Holy Spirit. But to do the work of God, they couldn't have done the work of God without the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're seeing. And so we see the Holy Spirit very active in the Old Testament, always active in both Testaments. The Spirit of God is very active. And then I want to, at the end, I want us to talk a little bit about how this relates to us and what God is building with us, and how is God giving us the Holy Spirit, and how is God giving us gifts that we can use in this way. So I have several points I want to make. Number one, God gave very detailed instructions about the tabernacle and all things related to its service. So God gave them specific details, like, here's what I want you to do. In Exodus 40:16, it says, at the end, at the very end of the book, after they built the tabernacle, it says, Moses did, according to the Lord, all the Lord commanded. So God gave specific detail, and Moses followed the detail. And I want to remind you that that's really what we're supposed to do. It's like, that's a sign of a great servant of God. It's like we read the word and we get excited about doing it and we put it into practice, and we don't just take God by name. It's like we take the whole package. Like, man, I'm excited about being a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm not only got a fish on the back of my car or something like that. I'm actually trying to live out the principles that Jesus taught. I'm like a follower. I'm a doer. I like to hear. And James, it says, blessed is the one who hears the word of God and becomes a doer, not just a hearer, not just hearing it, but you actually put it into practice. And in the book of Revelation, it says the last book of the Bible is applicable to that particular book, the revelation of Jesus Christ, but it's also appropriate and applicable to the whole of God's word. It says, blessed is the one who hears and then puts into practice. I'm just going to tell you, folks, you'll be a whole lot happier Christian not just taking Jesus by name, but you start living out his principles. Right? There is a good thing. It's one of the best things you can do. It's like, man, I'm a Christian in name and in game. Like, I'm going to walk with God. That just came to me. I'm sorry. It's not even in my notes. My mind's like that. It's just like my kids just like, stop it, Dad. Okay, but I can't. But I think it's important, though, that we see that the mark of a great servant of God, to love God and follow his commandments, God has given the sacred scriptures, the instruction manual for life, our roadmap. Okay? So walking by faith means learning and living God's principles. Not only is it healthy, but it's absolutely exciting. I just want to tell you, the most exciting life I'm ever living is when I'm walking in the Word and will of God. I think it's exciting. And I have every reason to be hopeful and confident. Okay, number two, the Israelites learned many valuable skills. And some had great abilities from their work as slaves in Egypt, just like some of you before you became a Christian. Some of you here, you probably aren't a Christian. And you learn things while you're going through life. You go to school, you learn how to read, you learn how to write, you learn how to do math, some of you. And you learn how to talk, and you learn how to put things together, or tear things apart, or somehow that's a skill, I think. But you have these things in life, and you're learning without even being a Christian, so that the second you become a Christian, it's like, well, I learned to read at school, I can read my Bible. I always tell people, reading the Bible is not as hard as you think. How do you study for a test? It's like, apply all the grammatical, historical things you learned, like ask questions, like diagnostic questions. Who, what, where, when, how, well. How would you read and study for a test? Well, how about applying that ability that you've learned over your years to the work of God? It's like, some of it's like, you already know how to do certain things. You know how to build stuff. Is there any way you could use that for God? You know how to treat people. You know, you're hospitable. You like to have parties. Is there any way you can learn some of those skills? You like to arrange flowers. You like to organize. You like to structure things. Is there any way that you can use those for the glory of God, the abilities that you've learned through your life? Most of that can be sanctified and used for God. You don't have to go, like, start from ground zero. It's like the Lord starts with, he starts in the womb, and he starts helping you, gifting you, giving you skill sets. They were capable of doing extraordinary things before they even committed to, devoted to God. And then in Exodus 32, they sinfully used their natural abilities. Remember what that? They knew how to work with gold, silver. And they knew how to use it in a way that wasn't honoring to God. And they built a golden calf. And you know how to do things that maybe you aren't using to God. You know how to do junk stuff. You know how to get degrees. You know how to go to college. You know how to pass a test. You know how to do some landscaping. You know how to do this or that. But it's not of any eternal value if you don't sanctify and give it to God. It's cool and stuff. You might even get a street named after you. Of course, it's your family driveway, but it's a street, I guess. But you, like, there's a lot God's already given you. God wanted to put their abilities to use for all he had a heart to do. It was in his heart. The same people were capable of going either way according to the state of your heart. So you can do great things for God that either the world will remember and won't count for anything else. You might make a monument, a statue, something. Somebody will remember you and say, oh, yeah, man, those were the days back there. We were faith changers. Well, you're not now. You're old and barely walking. So apparently whatever you were then didn't stick. It's back in the memory book somewhere. Or you can live for the glory of God, and you're like going toward the better days. Going toward the best, the best is yet to come. I'm a Christian. What I've done counts for God. And says that you invest, I'm investing in eternal future, not just dirt and dust. Okay? The instant you become a Christian, you can begin using your skills and abilities for God's work. Everything you can do now can be devoted to God's honor and glory. Most everything. That is, except for bad stuff. You can't suddenly sanctify prostitution. You know, whatever. Getting drunk or getting high. It's like, no, I do that real well. And you can't do that for the glory of God because that doesn't glorify God on either side of the cross. But there's some things you can do. Most of what you do, actually, you can now transfer that to being a Christian and walking with God. It's like, you've got skill set. Use that for the glory of God to do good things. And all of a sudden, it's like, you feel like, man, I think God made me to do stuff like this. So here's a way you could pray. I'm yours, Lord. What can I do for you today? And there's not a person in here that can't say that. You can say that. You can say, I'm yours, Lord. Well, I'm 12, and all I do is play kickball. Well, then you can do that for the glory of God. You can stop cheating. Stuff like that. You know, there's a lot of things you can do. Suddenly you do it for the glory of God. Okay? Begin eliminating things that, you know, don't please him. And God will show you those things. You know, when you first became a Christian, you're kind of overwhelmed. And it's like, man, I don't know. Am I doing this right? I remember when I first became a Christian, I was 15, and I had a bad mouth and a bad mind. I was trained like every other boy my age. Everything was a dirty joke. Everything. Everything was a dirty joke. That's just the way we were. We learned it, man. We were good at it. We could turn anything into something filthy dirty. It's a skill. And we were dang good at it. When I became a Christian, it's like, Lord, what do I do with my mind? I'm kind of worried because I'm still got these terrible thoughts in my mind. And I have all these things and pictures I've seen. What do I do with that? And all I knew is I just say, Lord, help me. And I started asking God to help me. And slowly, you know, there came a time where before I graduated from high school, I remember there was a time I'd be sitting at the table with other guys and they would tell dirty jokes and I didn't even get it. I was usually the one telling them. And God began to work in my mind. It began to change me because I asked him, and slowly he began to help change the way I thought, the way I lived my life, the way I used my skills, and the way I approached things. All you have to do is be like Noah Samuel. Remember, he said, here I am, Lord. He's your Christian. You can do that. You could do that. You could join the forces of God today. You could just say, here I am, Lord. I'm here. What's my job? What's my mission? Isn't that cool that you could sign up today? Some of you are wasting your life, and I'm saying you can sign up today. That would be so cool. Okay, number three, God had a particular mission, building the tabernacle and all things required for his service that required the elevation, the lifting of their current natural abilities and the endowment of new and spiritual abilities from the Holy Spirit. So you can take your natural gifts, but somewhere along the way, God employ your natural gifting, but somewhere along the way, you're going to need an endowment of spiritual gifting. He sanctifies what you've got and gives you what you need. And he does that. And that we're going to see he did that in the Old Testament. All those guys had skill sets, but he elevated their skill set for a spiritual call. And he says, I gave them my Holy Spirit and elevated their ability for kingdom ministries. And it might be a new deposit. It might be an intensified ability with abilities you already have. I don't want to make a huge distinction there, because I just think what you do is you surrender to God and you say, Lord God, I just need some help. How am I going to have this? Have you ever felt like the Spirit of God is helping you in this situation? That's a gift. It's a gift. You ever talk with someone, you go, I have no idea. I didn't even know I knew that person. And it comes to mind in a moment, and it's like, whoa. God used my mouth and my brain to speak truth to someone who benefits from the Lord. Like they're saying, how did you have this? And sometimes God will help you through a problem. It's like a quagmire. It's like a, you just, how am I going to get through this? And it's like mud with sticks and rocks and dangerous pathway. You can't even see your footing. And somehow you navigate through a situation, and all you can say is, man, all I can say is God help me. Many of you know my story, but I was in a car wreck when I was 15. And I remember seeing the car after that car wreck, and I have no idea how I got out of there alive. I am stretching my head. Everything that looked at that metal all torn up and bent, torn up, plus it was underwater. How did that happen? It wasn't me. I don't go, well, hey guys, you watch this, I'm going to do this again. We've never in 1,000 years. I couldn't. I didn't do it the first time. And so we just see that God can elevate things when he has a purpose for them. And he wants to do that with you. The Spirit gave them gifts to be used for advancing his work at that place and at that time. At that time, they needed a tabernacle. And God gave them all the supplies they needed, the heart to give, and the hands to work. And here's the point that relates to us. What have we been given to do? You know, sometimes people look at the spiritual gifts and like the list on back and how many. That list on back, some people say we need to have every gift operating all the time. I'm not sure that we do. I know we need that. Right? There's not a gift on there that God can't give. And I believe God gives the gifts. Let me get the right word. Well, continuationist. There's a word called cessationist. And I was thinking, what's the opposite? Cessationist means a lot of the gift is gone. I don't think there's nothing changing the gift given. But I also know that gift isn't, that list isn't intended to be exhausted. It's just like what God is doing, and God can give any gift he wants. He might have some on there that are on the list. He can fully give what he wants to. He will do whatever it takes to get the job done. That's the whole thing. And then once we give ourselves to getting the job done, God begins to give. So, oh no, Lord, you don't give that gift to me. Who's just to tell God that? All I know is God will give whatever gift to accomplish the mission he's given to us. He will build the promise. And if God has a mission for us, he will give us every gift. I'm going to tell you what, folks. If our church needs a resurgence of spiritual gifts and people speaking in tongues and prophesying, it's not a problem for God to do it. If that's really what we need, we should do that. Yeah. Not a problem. But also, probably what we need more is like, you know, I love you. Because some of these gifted people in 1 Corinthians 12 to 14, 11 to 14, they had a problem loving each other. They had lots of gifts, but not a lot of grace. And so, I'm just saying God will gift us whatever we need. And we can look at what he's done in the past, and we have plenty of reason to believe he can give us what we need, and probably a lot of what he's done in the past he wants to do right here, right now. Okay? So, the Spirit gave them what they needed to do the work of God. In Genesis 1:12, we have the Holy Spirit hovering over the waters at creation. In Genesis 2:7, the Holy Spirit breathed into Adam, and he became a living being. In Genesis 6, Holy Spirit was grieved by the spread of sin throughout the world. In Genesis, Holy Spirit gave intelligence, knowledge, craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, bronze, and cutting stones for setting, and carving wood, to work every craft, all his skills. I have filled him with the Holy Spirit of God. And behold, I appointed Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, and the tribe of Dan. I have given to all able men ability, that they may make all that I commanded, the tent of meeting, the ark of the testimony, the mercy seat, the furnishings of the tent, the table, the utensils, the pure lampstand, all its utensils, altar of incense, the burnt offering, all these utensils, the basin, the stand, the garments, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, the garments for his sons, the anointing oil, fragrant incense, according to all that I've commanded you to do, they shall do. So here's the point. According to all that I've commanded you to do, they shall do. How? Because I will give them. stands there and shines. And so now we see the glory of Jesus, and we are witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus. We believe in the resurrection. I might not have seen Jesus. I've never seen, as far as I know, I've never seen Jesus with my physical eyes, but I bear testimony to the witness of the resurrection, and I would lay down my life for it. Because that is my hope. I have nothing else. I don't want to hold on to my car or my home or a tree or gold. I don't want to hold on to my RA. I'm all in on Jesus. I testify. I'm all in on Jesus. I believe this book because I've experienced the work of God in this sinner's heart. He's changing me, and I long to be changed more. And the only change agent that I know of is the Spirit of God, and I want the Spirit of God to continue the work in me. And I also want to be involved in the work of God's kingdom. Therefore, I want to be a soldier in the Lord's army. I want to fight against evil. I want to fight for what is right and good. And therefore, I want to put on the armor of God, and I want to engage in this leg of the race. The baton is in our hands, and we have to run our race in the moment in which we are called. And what is going on in this moment? That there are people who live around you and work where you work and are part of your family who need to know about King Jesus and what he's done for sinners, and they need to be invited. Whether they say no is between them and God, but that they have information is up to us. And we need to convey and take the baton and run around praying, seeking for the glory of God, standing in this stretch of the race. Are we in mile 25 of a 26-mile marathon? I don't know. I don't have a time clock, as some people seem to have. I think we're about that area, though. I certainly don't believe that we're at mile 12. I think we're way past mile 18. And I think we're getting closer to Jesus coming. And I don't want to drop the baton and get disqualified. I want to run. And I want to say, Lord God, gift me as you do. What is my assignment? What is our assignment, Webster Baptist? What are we to do in our leg of the race? Fill me, God. I need you. Fill me, God. I need you, Holy Spirit. I've operated on natural ability far too long. Take my natural ability and endow me with more of your Holy Spirit and whatever gift is required to carry the baton to the next one. That's what we're called to do. That's what God did with this sorry generation of people in the wilderness. He moved the baton so I can know he can use a sorry group like that. Okay? Because he used that group. You read the story. They're a pretty sorry bunch. 1 Corinthians 10 says, man, that group screwed up, and they're an example to you so that you don't do that.